From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on your bicycle last year. Did you ride a bicycle in 2020? New data from Strava finds that bicycle riding, just the amount of time that we either worked out on bikes, exercised, or rode them for pleasure, was up 28% in the United States, 45% in Germany, 82% in the UK. That is a lot of riding. And there was a lot that we couldn't do during our pandemic year. One thing we could do was ride a bicycle, and millions more people did. Bicycles under $600 were especially hot. Many stores could not keep them in stock, especially in the warmer months. So now what? Here in Rochester, there's this long-standing idea that you can get anywhere you want to go by car in 20 minutes or less. But what about by bicycle? Have you ever reworked that 20-minute idea to think about traveling via bicycle? Reconnect Rochester wants you to do exactly that. They've launched their new campaign called 20 Minutes by Bike. Most car trips are 3 miles or less, and so the team at Reconnect Rochester wants you to think about doing those trips by bicycle, and they've created maps to help you envision what possible routes might look like. For now, Reconnect is keeping the goal modest. They understand most people are not going to probably do the longer trips via bicycle, but they believe that by starting out small, you might become convinced that you can do a lot more via bicycle than you realized. Are you ready to try it? Is this one of the permanent changes that will come out of the pandemic? Our guests this hour include Jesse Pierce, cycling coordinator for Reconnect Rochester and project coordinator and blogger for Examining Bikeability in Downtown Rochester. Jesse, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Pam Rogers is a blogger on bikeability in Irondequoit. Pam, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks. I'm very excited to be here.
And Jackie Marchand is the owner of Woman Tours and a blogger on bikeability in Brighton. Jackie, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Evan. Happy to be here.
What's the last bike trip you made, Jackie? When's the last time you were on your bicycle?
It was this morning on my way to work. I work about 3.5 miles from my house, and I bike here almost every day.
I love it. Pam, what about you?
Well, last night was our Taco Tuesday ride. We have it weekly every Tuesday night.
Everybody does Taco Tuesday. Every day is Taco Day in where I live.
Well, that's true. Right.
And Jesse Pierce, last time you made a bicycle trip.
I have two jobs that are a mile and a half away, so I bike every day to work.
So what Jackie, Pam, and Jesse just described are close to within this range of 3 miles or less. And we're going to talk this hour about, number one, what everyone's experience, and I mean everyone, sort of the collective experience in this pandemic was, what we learned from that, and maybe what comes out of all of this, how we look ahead and what changes in our lives. But Jesse, take me to the roots of how the notion of 20 minutes by bike came together.
Okay, so I basically had three inspirations. Back in 2015, there's this cool European bike organization called Bike Citizens, and they came out with a series of cool-looking maps for different cities in Europe, and I think they actually developed an app that shows your location within your city, and then you get to choose 5 minutes out from your location, 10 minutes out, 15 minutes out, and it shows you in spiderweb fashion out from where you are how far you can get by bike at a casual pace at a given time period. So I thought that was so cool. We don't have the resources to make an app like that, but I always wanted to do something similar in Rochester. And then the other inspiration that I had was back in 2015, Reconnect Rochester did a really cool map examining bus frequency that I think made a lot of really good buzz back in 2015. And I think it was probably one of several factors that led to Reimagine RTS. And it was time for the RCA's first ever messaging campaign. So we wanted to demonstrate visually what's possible by bike.
Wow. And so now on the visual side of things, Jesse, I'm a visual person. And when I'm thinking about making changes, it sure helps to be able to kind of envision on a map where you think you can go, what the routes may look like, what might be more sort of infrastructurally friendly. So kind of take me through this idea that you can kind of show people the routes here and how easy you want it to be in the future for people to envision creating their own bicycle routes.
Sure. I mean, so for this series of bike shed maps, we basically picked arbitrary spots in different municipalities. So, for instance, in Rochester, we chose downtown in Parcel 5. For Irondequoit, we chose I-Square. For Brighton, we chose 12 corners. And in spiderweb fashion out from each of those points, we show you how far you can get by bike at a casual pace in 20 minutes or less. And so surrounding each of these areas is this, you know, beautiful Reconnect Rochester green area that if you live in that green area, you should be able to bike to that centralized point within 20 minutes or less. And so in Rochester, you know, I don't think you can be a resident of Rochester and not see that we're getting more and more bike infrastructure as the years go by. Whether it's painted bike lanes or cycle tracks up on the sidewalk or bike boulevards, which are going to be substantially enhanced this year. So there's an increasing amount of options to allow for people of all ages and abilities to get around by bike, and that's really neat to see.
Listeners, I want to know if you bicycled more or if you bicycled for the first time or if you dusted something off out of the attic or garage or if you bought something or if you bicycled with your kids last year. And that's what the research says was really happening at big, big levels. And as someone who wanted to get a bike for a kid for a birthday last year, it was hard to find them. Shops were really running low, which was a good sign for the industry and for the activities that are happening. But I'd love to know if this is going to become, number one, something more permanent for you, and number two, are you open to taking a look at these maps and really thinking, all right, I'm going to try this. This is a 2.5-mile trip that I would normally drive. I'm going to do this. Or this is a 1-mile trip. This is a 3-mile trip. I'm going to do this. 844-295-TALK, toll free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections at WXXI.org. Are you willing to bicycle more? And Pam Rogers, whenever we talk on this program about what it would take to get more people to bicycle, we get a wide range of answers, but sort of at the top of that is the culture. It's this idea that, am I safe? Will the cars respect my space? And is there space and infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Is there space and infrastructure for me on the road? What kind of changes have you seen with that, Pam?
It's really actually pretty good in terms of what I see, at least here in Irondequoit. They have started to work on road diets, so to speak, because in Irondequoit, as you know, it's pretty old and the infrastructure is such that the major roadways don't have a lot of room to expand. But what we can do is paint the lines differently and give us a central turning lane with only one lane in each way. And then you've got a much wider shoulder to ride on. And with that and all of the bicycle, like sharrows and things like that, it really kind of helps to identify this is the place where cyclists should be, and we need to respect that. So, of course, you know, Irondequoit has always been a very bikeable and walkable town anyway. So I find no issues. The only thing that I always worry about are busy roadways, but we look for lights and things like that to kind of help us through those busy intersections.
And we'll ask Jackie about Brighton coming up here, but Pam is the blogger on bikeability in Irondequoit, and just reminding listeners that this series, 20 Minutes by Bike, kicked off this month. They've got a map centered, as Jesse mentioned, around downtown. And then for the rest of this year, Reconnect Rochester is unveiling a new custom 20 Minutes by Bike map and a blog post by guest writers like we've got on the program today, offering ideas to navigate each map's green area. So over the course of that series, you'll see these pop up, and so you'll see Irondequoit, Brighton, Pittsford, etc. Pam, when you think about, you know, what that map looks like for Irondequoit, do you think people will say, look at that and say, I can do that? Do you think they'll say, boy, you know, there's probably more that I can do here than I maybe didn't consider previously?
Absolutely. It's so funny because when you look at I-Square as sort of like the center, you don't have to go more than 20 minutes, literally, to get to the river, to get to the lake, to get to the bay, and all points in between. There are so many. Well, of course, I love Irondequoit anyway because I've lived here for a long time, and there's just so many great places to go. But the fact that you can actually get to all of them by bike is really cool, and there are ways to do it. And there are so many little tiny pathways that connect roads that you never even knew existed until you really explore. So it's great.
Let's ask Jackie Marchand about the perspective then on bikeability in Brighton. Close. We're just going to conflate the words here. Bikeability in Brighton. How do you view both the culture and the infrastructure, Jackie?
Well, I have to say Brighton has done a great job with its trail system. Just in the last couple of years, we've had opened three new trails, the Brickyard Trail, 2 years ago, I believe, the Highland Crossing Trail last year, and the Auburn Trail just opened last month. And they're all trails that connect really good points to each other. The Brickyard Trail is the library in town. The Highland Crossing Trail goes to Highland Park from Elmwood Avenue. The Auburn Trail goes to goes to Wegmans out in Pittsburgh. And it's, I think, the best way to get more people out cycling, and especially families with children, is trails that are off the road. You know, they're super safe. And once you start feeling safe and comfortable on a trip, before you know it, you're going further and further because it's just so much fun. So fortunately, you know, we've done a lot in Brighton. There's still, you know, Elmwood Avenue is still the main thoroughfares are still kind of tough. You know, we're hoping for a cycle track one day all the way down Elmwood Avenue. You know, we started that out by Strong Memorial Hospital, and we've just have made great inroads. There's a lot we can do, but we've done a lot already.
Yeah, and Jackie, there's by the way, MJ on the phone in Rochester. I'm going to grab your call in just a second, and I'm going to start reading some feedback which is coming in on the subject of bicycling. And Jackie, when I think about kind of the stages I saw during the pandemic, so if we go back about a year, the first thing that I noticed. You know, I live in Chalat. I drive on Lake Avenue a lot, which is not for the faint of heart. But it was interesting because there were a lot fewer cars on the road for all the obvious reasons. And yet I thought the people who were driving had just lost their minds. I mean, bizarre driving, very strange. Even though there were fewer cars, it didn't feel all that safe. And then it sort of evened out. We all sort of got used to having fewer cars on the road. And I thought if there's ever going to be an opening to get more people trying bicycles, it would probably be during a pandemic, because it's one thing to ride on trails and it's another to say, I'm going to try a 2 mile trip to a store or to work. And some of it may be on a main thoroughfare. I've maybe been on the fence before, but I'm going to do it. Have you felt like this has been an open door, Jackie, to get more people into the movement?
Oh, absolutely. I take, you know, when you talk about trails, I use the trails to get places. You know, I don't use them just to cycle for fun.
That's interesting.
But I do use the canal path all the time to get to my office if I have a little extra time, because it lengthens the trip for me. And if it's a beautiful day, I'm like, oh, what's another mile? I just want to enjoy the day a little bit before I get to the office. And the Canal Trail was packed with people, so many more people, and more diverse people than I've ever seen before last year. It was great. And I will say, I live on Elmwood, right by 12 Corners, and I don't ride on Elmwood. It's crazy because the lanes are narrow. There's not much room for cyclists. People try to squeeze by you. But last summer was really fun because I would just cruise down Elmwood Avenue, and it would be completely empty at 10 or 12 in the afternoon. You know, if I wasn't doing it at 5, I was out there by myself sometimes. That was really fun. And I would love it if that came back, but it probably won't. But the other thing, Jesse mentioned the bicycle boulevards that we're doing, and that's, I think, or maybe Pam did, but it's when we take quiet residential roads, tame them a little bit more, sign them, and you can actually use the routes to get from place to place. We're showing people how they can get from one place to another place without going on the main thoroughfares. And with their greater expansion, that's really going to help people.
Jesse, before I take that call, how much have you seen the last year, as awful as the pandemic is, as a chance to really crank up efforts to convince people to come on board with this movement, this culture, and ride a bicycle, not just with their kids, not just because, you know, they've got a 6-year-old learning to ride, but because they're going to ride more for actual daily activities?
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time. I mean, we've had some on-fire blogs at Reconnect Rochester recently, and one of the best ones that we've had was a blog from Dream Bikes. Paul and Eric over at Dream Bikes gave us a synopsis of the waves of activity, the waves of business that they saw in 2020 when the pandemic was happening. And, you know, we linked to some pictures at Burt's Bikes in Henrietta, for instance, where the entire showroom is just empty. There's no bikes on shelves. And so, you know, we do show those to, you know, policymakers and say, look, this is not just a national fluke that's happening elsewhere.
Yeah.
This is happening in Rochester. People want a bike.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I saw it at Bike Zone up on Ridge Road, the great folks there. They were very patient with me last spring. But there's, you know, there's so many great shops and great people. And yeah, it was neat to see the demand. It was fascinating. Let me grab MJ on the phone in Rochester. Go ahead, MJ.
Oh, hi, Evan. Thanks for having this show. This is such a topic near and dear to my heart. I moved to Rochester 18 years ago in coming up, and I specifically bought my house to be within 3 miles of the U of R where I work so that I could bike to work. And it has definitely improved over those past 18 years. It was really harrowing at the beginning. People would yell at me. I'm talking about riding off hours, you know, whenever. It didn't matter. It was always kind of nerve-wracking. It's definitely gotten a lot better. I live in Park Ave. I kind of wend my way through the South Wedge. I cannot ride on Highland Avenue, which I think is crazy because there is space. There just aren't the appropriate lanes or even the way the gutters are built there. It doesn't work. I have ridden from my house to Clinton Crossings and then to campus on Elmwood. And it is harrowing, but there's no alternative. And I really think that until, you know, there's been great infrastructure developed for recreational cyclists in this city. I've actually cycled less during the pandemic because I'm working from home. But I really feel like this city still doesn't have a mentality of setting up infrastructure for commuters. And we are so reliant on our cars here. But people within the city want to get from point A to point B. When you drive down East Avenue, what look like bike lanes vaporize when you get to the intersections. They literally painted them off the street. So it's kind of like we're supposed to hop over the intersection or something. Whoever was doing that wasn't really thinking about bikers. So I'm really happy that there's so many improvements, but I just think we need to keep pushing hard for better bike infrastructure in the city for people to be able to commute.
MJ, can I ask you a couple things before I let you go, and then I'll let our guests respond? So, you know, you bring up, I think you brought up Highland as an example, where you said there's plenty of space, but it's just not, it's not laid out for bikes, even though there should be, right?
Yeah, Highland is a two-way street, but there is space on the margins, but on the shoulders, but the way the shoulders are built, it kind of dips down. So you can either ride in the shoulders, which is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Of course, people ride on the sidewalk, which is illegal and dangerous, or you can ride in the road. And so when I sometimes have had to ride in the road, you have to occupy the lane, which we actually have the right to do. Most people don't know that. Most drivers don't know that. So then you risk irritating or enraging a driver. So, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, sometimes I just have to go on Highland. I just hold my breath and hope I'm going to get there without getting hit.
Yeah. One of our former colleagues, Brett Dahlberg, did a great piece on bicycling in Rochester. And Brett is still, if you follow him on social media, he's in Michigan now, but he is still posting with some routine on his experiences bicycling wherever he goes. And it seems like every three or six months, he gets clipped by a driver or some driver buzzes by him and is screaming at him like, "You don't have the right to be here, idiot." And Brett's going, I definitely do, and you definitely are wrong, you know. And his point.
Drivers don't know. I mean, there is a problem with driver education here, and I think it's because there's such a car mentality in this region. And you know, I'm really happy that bike stores are running out of bikes because people have to be taught that their cyclists have rights on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when Brett doesn't post those to say this is the norm, but his point is if you're bicycling, all it takes is one or two moments like that for you to go, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to try to go to work. And so I guess before I let you go, I want to ask you, I think you're a really good sort of person to kind of weigh in on Rochester culture, given that you've been here for the better part of 2 decades, but you've been in places where there is more of a bicycling culture. Obviously, the panelists today are doing everything they can to build that here. But are there places in this city or region where you go, boy, this used to be really rough, but this has changed? Somebody raised their voice. This is better. I mean, are there places where you feel more comfortable now than you did maybe a decade ago?
Well, I definitely think just overall it's better. I'm not sure if it's specifically because of one initiative. I mean, one thing that your panelists will probably remember is that when gas hit $4 a gallon about 5 years ago, we suddenly saw a lot more people cycling, and that helped. Another good reason to raise our gas taxes. I think the culture is changing. I think also, you know, we've had an influx of young people in this city. I'm not one of them. Young people want to bike. And there's a lot of young families in my neighborhood that are taking their kids to school on bikes. And, you know, they need to be supported as well. So I do think there's a culture shift, but the infrastructure is the key to that. People have to feel safe.
I appreciate the phone call, MJ. Thank you. Really, really great stuff. And let me kick it over now to our guests. I'll start with Jesse Pierce. A lot there from MJ. What do you make of what you just heard from her there, weighing in on 18 years of the culture in Rochester, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I do think the culture is changing slowly. We do have further to go. But, you know, many people in Rochester City Hall are very vocal about, you know, how there is a need to change the culture. And actually, we just started, I shot a video a couple of weeks ago, Evan, with Teage Jenkins. We're collaborating with Teage and her team on some bike videos for cyclists, you know, rules for riding the Riverway Trail. Here's some best practices for negotiating traffic by bike. And so we are partnering with the city and other orgs on that education. The other thing I would say, Evan, is absolutely everybody needs to be made safe and felt safe when they bicycle. But one thing that I've always wanted to do that I just started doing is really taking a deep dive into Rochester crash data involving cyclists. And I did that for this past winter, November through February, you know, the cold, dark months of Rochester winter. And there weren't many bicyclist crashes, but the crashes that we did see, 3 out of every 4 were the fault of the cyclist. And so education goes both ways.
Pam Rogers, when it comes to how well Rochester motorists are educated, how far do we have to go?
Oh, that is a loaded question. But I believe it starts with when the kids first learn to drive and they're 16 years old and they're taking their road test. You know, it starts from the beginning, this, you know, instituting a thought process that says there are other people out here on the roads besides cars. I need to watch out for pedestrians. I need to watch out for cyclists. And they have just as much right to be there. And, you know, I know it's a learning process for people that have already been through that and they're older and they don't have that mentality. But we've got to start in the beginning and then, you know, kind of re-educate people. And I think there needs to be some sort of a communication starting from, you know, the town, the cities, everybody that says we welcome cyclists and pedestrians. They belong here. We have to watch out for them. Like, it's just, it's a big culture shift, but it has to happen.
How do you see it, Jackie?
Well, I also see that the more people on bikes, the more you cycle yourself, the more you'll be aware when you're behind the wheel of a car, what it's like for that cyclist out there. So if you're into that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good point. And it should be obvious, but it's such a good point. And so maybe the last year, given that more of us were on bicycles, will help with that. Here is an email from a listener. It actually comes via text, so I don't know the name. But this person says, if you want an adrenaline rush, try West Henrietta Road with a trailer full of groceries from BJ's to downtown during rush hour. Money saved on a gym membership, check. Better mileage than a hybrid or EV, check. Carrying people, pets, groceries, and furniture, check. Passing a muscle car in rush hour traffic, priceless.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
It is funny. It is funny. But having worked in Henrietta, do they allow bicycles or people who aren't in cars? I thought the law in Henrietta was you have to be in a car and there cannot be more than one person in a car. I could be. I'm mostly kidding, but that's a great one here. I'm going to let Pam and Jackie have some final words, and then we're going to welcome Gerald and Tracy in our second half hour, who are going to tell us more about these routes that Reconnect Rochester are putting together, helping see the maps of how you can connect to your various routes by bicycle, not necessarily by car. So, Pam, if this effort this year is successful that Reconnect Rochester is doing, 20 minutes by bike, what happens in our community, Pam?
Oh, well, personally, I think it's a much better community to live in, but that's just me. I mean, I'm all about active transportation and just environment, taking care of our environment and making it more accessible and people being out and about and seeing each other. So if we can if we can all get out there on our bikes on a more regular basis and use it for practical purposes as well as for fun, then I think we're all going to be the better for it. We'll be healthier. We'll be, you know, the environment will be better. Like, the community will be nicer. Like, I mean, we're a bunch of nice people here in Rochester. They always say that. But are we? Like, sometimes, like you said, cars and people behind the wheel aren't always as nice. And I think if they are, and we can really sort of shift the thinking, I think it's going to be great. I mean, as a cyclist, I look forward to that because I love to bike everywhere and to not have to worry, you know, about people mowing me down on the road. You know, there's and pathways to ride that are off the road. That's going to be awesome. I mean, it's just going to make it all a better place to live. Rochester will become the place.
Mm. Jackie, what do you think?
Well, I want to second everything that Pam said. I am a true believer, and I really think that the more people on bikes, the healthier our community in so many different ways. We're healthier as individuals. We're safer because we're all out on the street more. We keep it safe for everybody else. There's fewer cars, which means fewer accidents. It's cars that kill people, not the bikes. I want to go on and on. And you mentioned that we have more and more young people coming to Rochester, and they do want an active kind of community. And that's what bicycling brings. And, you know, that means more growth for our area. I just don't see a downside to it at all.
Well, and just to kind of keep things organized, let me just get two bits of feedback before we welcome in two of the other bicyclists, essentially the bloggers and the mappers who are joining us, helping flesh this out in our community. First is a phone call, and I'll take this from Tom in Rochester. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. I've been a bicyclist I've been in the city now a little over 30 years, and I use my bicycle only for things like going to the store, going to work. And I have noticed the culture changing, especially, you know, like the attitude of drivers, because I, like some of you, have gotten yelled at, you know, beeped at, mm-hmm. just, you know, harassed by cars. But I really feel like those bike lanes, even though, you know, they're not always that useful to me, I find them, you know, that they've changed the attitude of people. It's like, oh, yeah, bicycles are allowed on the street. And they do ride on the same side of the road as we do and things like that. But I'd also just, you know, like to say that I remember when I was a kid, like in elementary school back in the 50s and the 60s, there was a police officer that would come to the school every year and give us a talk about safe bicycling and tell us all the rules and made us understand that bicycles are a vehicle and they should be treated the same as cars and that they have the same, you know, they need to signal when they turn and they need to, you know, use the same lanes and all that. And that stayed with me. And so I kind of asserted that attitude when I'd, you know, go out to commute. But I have to say that still to this day, I have a little prayer that I say to myself as I'm hearing somebody approach from behind, because I'm a little nervous about how close they get. And that comment about Elmwood is so true. What I do on Elmwood is I use a 3-foot stick with a tennis ball on the end of it, and I hook it to the side of the bike. And what I do is, the idea is, now this is how far you need to stay away from me. And people generally respect that, but still, Elmwood.
Tom, I got to read something to you, Tom. I'm glad you bring that up. Jerry emails us to say, she says, the bicycling passing law needs to be changed, and she attached a state law amendment. Let me just read a little bit of this proposed amendment. I'd love to hear what you think. This is a proposed state vehicle and traffic law amendment that says, quote, the operator of a vehicle overtaking from behind a bicycle proceeding on the same side of a roadway shall pass to the left of such bicycle at a distance of no less than 3 feet in a manner that is safe and until safely clear thereof. In the event of any collision between a motor vehicle and a bicycle, it shall be a rebuttable presumption that the driver of the motor vehicle failed to keep any safe distance. What do you think there, Tim?
Yeah, totally. if there could be some education to follow that up, you know, so that public service announcements or something just saying, you know, bicycles are out there and you need to stay 3 feet away and keep them safe.
I have to say, I don't know why that law is so controversial. Yeah.
The one I just read there, the amendment?
Exactly. That has been on the docks for a long time.
And it never goes anywhere.
And it never goes anywhere. And I want to know why. I don't understand.
Well, you know, we always hear about big pharma, big Wall Street. Maybe it's just big cars. Is there like a big car lobby that's keeping this 3-foot passing law? It does seem pretty logical to me. And it doesn't seem like it would hurt most motorists. I don't really get it there.
But
let me just ask Jesse briefly, any thoughts on what you heard from Tom there before we jump to our second half hour here? Go ahead.
Sure. So you are absolutely right that the 3-foot passing bill has just really not gone anywhere in Albany. But we actually have a 3-foot passing bill here in Monroe County that so far is looking pretty good. So we should be finding out about that soon. And I should just clarify, New York State already has a safe passing law that says that motorists must pass cyclists at a safe distance. It just doesn't define that safe distance. And so we're not necessarily changing any laws. We're just clarifying that what that safe distance is here in Monroe County.
Okay. And Pam and Jackie, anything else you want to add there based on what you heard from Tom?
No, I just want to encourage people to get on their bike and try it. 20 minutes is very doable for most of us, and it's fun. Mm.
Well, I'm grateful for the time, and as we head to our second half hour, we let Pam and Jackie go. Let me just mention again, we're here because Reconnect Rochester and the Rochester Cycling Alliance are working together on this new bicycle messaging campaign. They kicked off the series with a map centered around downtown Rochester, and then for the rest of 2021, Reconnect Rochester is unveiling these new custom-made 20 minutes by bike maps and an accompanying blog by guest writers that offer ideas on how to navigate essentially each town or each city section's green area that's on the map. Basically saying, look, by 20 minutes or less, you can take this route. You can get to work this way. You can get to the store that way. And it's this campaign to make people see that you can do a lot more on a bicycle than you previously thought possible. And I want to thank our guests who were here with us this half hour. Pam Rogers is a biker on bikeability in Irondequoit. Thank you for this, Pam. Let's talk again.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was great to be here.
Jackie Marchand, owner of Woman Tours, blogger on bikeability in Brighton. Thank you, Jackie. I know we'll talk again.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Jesse Pierce is cycling coordinator for Reconnect Rochester. He stays with us, and we're going to welcome two more of their guest bloggers as we broaden the map after we take this only break on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, Thursday on the next Connections. ATVs and dirt bikes seem to be everywhere. Different cities are dealing with it in different ways. What should Rochester, Monroe County, and New York State do about this? We talked to some of the riders themselves along with lawmakers. Then in our second hour, talking to chefs about vegetarian and vegan cooking. After one of the most famous restaurants in the world took meat off the menu, what's next? Talk with you Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Jesse Pierce, as we get ready to introduce two more guests, tell people who are listening where to find these maps that we've been talking about and what the schedule is going to be for them to be able to do that.
Okay, so if you head to reconnectrochester.org and you just scroll down a little bit to latest stories, one of the most recent blogs there is the 20 Minutes by Bike Examining Downtown Rochester. But once a month, we'll be adding a new map with a new blog about navigating that green area by bike.
Okay, and let me welcome now Gerald Gasiak. Dr. Gasiak is a blogger examining biking to RGH and Unity Hospitals. Gerald, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Evan.
And Tracy Austin is a transportation coordinator at the University of Rochester and a blogger examining bikeability to URMC and the River Campus. Tracy, welcome to you.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you, Evan.
And Tracy, when you look at these maps that Reconnect is putting together and you think about the concept of 20 minutes or less by bike, I mean, that's the old saying in this region. You can get anywhere by car in 20 minutes or less here. How successful do you think you can be to redirect people's ideas to their bicycles to do that?
Well, at the University of Rochester, I feel like we're kind of lucky because our answer to that question can also include the Canal Trail, the Genesee River Trail, Lehigh Valley Trail. And then also a lot of our employees and students live within the neighborhoods close to our campuses. So their commute usually is only about 10 minutes on average. So Yeah, I feel like it's really doable, but I also know, just as our previous caller pointed out, there are definitely some hairy intersections if you choose to take the busier routes. And so I'm just always encouraging people to try to, you know, find a little bit more of an alternate route that doesn't have those busy intersections intermingled, and also to bring a buddy with you, especially if you're a new commuter. But I definitely think that it's something worth trying.
How do you see it, Dr. Gasiak?
Well, I think the 20 minutes covers a lot of our employees. I've been riding from Bushnell's Basin to Rochester General for the last 15 years. And so when I look where the last 20 minutes are, it really covers a whole lot of where our employees live.
Bushnell's Basin to RGH takes how long for you?
Now, you know, when I was using just a road bike, it would take me just about an hour each way. So I'd get home and I'd had 2 hours of exercise, so I was pretty happy about it. I'm using an e-bike now, and I can cut it down to about 45 to 50 minutes, depending on how the lights are.
I don't know if that's the same. Let me just read this email I got from a listener who's listening at the WXXI mobile app in Vancouver, Canada. David says, I've been getting around by bike, admittedly electric assist, since 2006 in Vancouver, and Vancouver is hilly. I hope your city is setting up lots and lots of bike routes like we have here. Two blocks from me is what amounts to a bicycle expressway known as the Arbutus Greenway. Cool stuff from David. But when he says electric assist, is that the same thing that you're talking about, Dr. Gasiak?
Exactly. It's a pedal assist. So I can, depending on how much of a workout I want to get going in, I can have zero assist up to pretty much the electric bike doing the whole work for me. But it's made the commute a lot more fun, and I kind of challenge myself to how much I want to work out and how much I'm in a hurry to get to that meeting.
Well, Dr. Gasiak and Tracy, I've got to ask you both a question that comes up, another one that comes up often, and it has not come up yet on this program today. But if we're talking about encouraging more people to use their bicycles, not just to hang out with their kids or do stuff for fun, but to actually go to the store, to get to work, to do errands, etc., you will have some people say, I am not going to work like that. I'm going to be sweating like crazy when I get to work. And so, Dr. Gasiak, let's start with you. What do you say about the hesitation people have because they've got a long work day and they don't know if they want to arrive in that condition?
Yeah, I think they're thinking, you know, more like if you were to jog to work. I think that's a real problem. But when you're biking, you actually have this 10, 15 mile an hour breeze the whole time. I get to work, I change my clothes, I don't shower when I get there, and I do an hour-long ride to come in.
And no one has ever complained about you.
I wish I could say that's true, but...
No, I we've got people in the office here who bicycle to work, and it's certainly no problem. In fact, I think it's great. What do you think about that, Tracy?
Oh, I think it's totally doable, especially if you do have an e-bike. That's going to cut down your chance of sweating by even more. But if you just bring some toiletries to freshen up and even just change the base layer of your clothing, that's enough of a significant move to stay pretty clean for the day.
As predicted, we are just flooded with emails, and I'm just going to read comments really for the rest of the hour. So many thoughtful and interesting ideas from listeners as we think about what Reconnect Rochester and the Rochester Cycling Alliance are doing together with this new bicycle messaging campaign, asking you to get on the website, Reconnect Rochester. Is it .com? Did I miss it, Jesse Pierce? ReconnectRochester.com?
.org.
Oh, .org. That's why I ask. ReconnectRochester.org, and you can see the maps and you can see so much more about what they've been talking about this hour. But some of them are culture questions and safety questions. Here's Charlie who says, can your panel comment on sidewalk riding? Why can't I ride my bicycle on the sidewalk when no one is on it walking? It's much safer than in the road. And then he says, plus, why are the bike lanes in the middle of some roads? So a two-parter. Jesse Pierce, I'll start with you.
To my knowledge, it's not illegal to ride on sidewalks, except in the Central Business District of downtown Rochester. So you have that option as a cyclist outside the downtown limits. I'm not as familiar with the surrounding municipalities. I mean, there might be some Where things tend to be more walkable is where some municipalities might dissuade cyclists from riding on sidewalks. But at least in the city, outside downtown, you are free to do so. And as far as bike lanes in the middle of roads, I experienced that once in Washington, D.C., but I haven't experienced it here locally. So unless someone else wants to chime in where those are.
Okay. Tracy, some thoughts there?
Well, as far as riding on the sidewalk, I do want to add, generally you are safer riding in the road because of visibility. But definitely, Jesse and I both teach bike education classes, and we would never encourage someone who feels really unsafe in the roadway, especially if it's a very narrow roadway, to bypass a sidewalk. But I do encourage people, if it's a heavily pedestrian used sidewalk, to get off your bike and just walk your bike up until the point where you feel safe to get back on the road. So that's my two cents about sidewalks.
Okay, and Dr. Gasiak?
Yeah, I concur with all of that. I think, again, sidewalks, you're not as visible. They're usually a lot rougher than the road, so you're more chance that you're going to hurt yourself. And I think the key, like the panelists said earlier, pick a good route. Stay off of the roads that are just not bike friendly. As I said, I go from Bushnell's Basin all the way to the RGH, and I scoped out a route that has it very safe. And luckily, they put in a bike lane between St. John Fisher and Linden Ave this year, so I have bike lane the whole way.
Is it east? Well, what is roughly the route that you're taking?
So 31 into Pittsford, then 96 down to Fisher, turn on to east to University, University to Culver, Culver to Waring, Waring to Norton, Norton to Portland.
Wow.
But it's bike lane the whole way. And again, going through some areas, people are, aren't you scared to go through those areas? And really not. People, the neighborhoods I go through, people are incredibly friendly. I've blown tires on roads where people are, you're kidding. It's like, no, people come up and try to help me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And so here's an email from a listener named Keith who is pointing to an important trend that gets overlooked often. And the trend is that if you build it, they will come. And I'm not trying to be trite here. This is confusing, I think, sometimes when people are and communities are debating about car lanes. So sometimes there will be this debate about, well, there's a lot of traffic congestion here. Let's just build two more lanes. And what has happened throughout history? Well, usually when that happens, not always, but often, those lanes will be built and the traffic congestion will be just as bad because more cars will end up using more lanes. It is a magnet to whatever you are building it for. So when you build bike lanes, when you do the kind of infrastructure support for bicycling, to the extent that people, you know, who are drivers get annoyed about it, that's fine. But more of them actually become bicyclists. People might say, well, nobody uses it. So why are we building bicycle lanes in a place? I never see bicycles there. Yes, you never see bicycles there because bicyclists don't feel safe and they don't feel supported. You will see them if the infrastructure is there. And so Keith is just pointing out, he says, look at to New York City's Prospect Park West bike lane, one of the most highly debated projects. And since it's been implemented, ridership has shot up from 50,000 plus to 75,000 per month over the last 3 years since opening. He says, look to the Dutch. In the 50s and 60s, cars dominated their cities. After decades of infrastructure redesign, it's the bike capital of the world. People commute, bring their kids to school, and buy their groceries on bikes. And another listener sends me a photograph of bicycling in Sweden. Rigmore says, someday, this is Uppsala, Sweden, where most people get around using bikes, and it is a sea of bicycles. So there is a chance to actually affect how we behave based on the choices we make with our infrastructure. Now, on the subject of when we do that, Casey says, would your panelists to have better and wider bike lanes want street trees to be cut down? Jesse Pierce, I don't know if that's like a necessity here, but Cassie wants to know, would you prefer to have street trees cut down to make for more bike infrastructure?
That might be a reference to the South Avenue and Elmwood project that's happening. In general, I love trees. Trees soak up carbon car exhaust. So in general, I'm not for that. But listen, I think there's space enough on our roads to accommodate all road users. And absolutely, I think the city realizes that the more protection there is, the more people will get on bikes. I mean, I'm super excited. I live in North Winton Village and I go downtown all the time. So I'm super excited for the cycle tracks that are going to be installed this year on East Main Street from Culver to Goodman. And I think the city realizes that. And in fact, we had Wednesday this last week, we had a bike infrastructure update with Darren Ramsey, the city's transportation specialist. And he admitted in that presentation, in which he gave us an overview of upcoming bike infrastructure, that the city basically views cycle tracks as the new standard when they're able to put them in, because the positive response is just so overwhelming to those separated cycle tracks. People want that separation.
Well, and let me ask Gerald and Tracy, as we kind of move toward the end of this hour, what they see as the biggest reasons that people aren't getting on board or haven't gotten on board yet. And I know there's a wide range of things, but what Reconnect and the Rochester Cycling Alliance are trying to do is at least give people information, is at least give people the kind of tools to say, here's a map, here's knowledge, that here's the route. Is that it, Tracy? Is it that people feel like it's out of reach and they can't visualize how they would actually get around on bicycles? Is it fear of safety? I mean, like, is there a number one thing that stands out for you?
I really think it's a combination of things. And I think bike education is a great way to address some of people's questions. At the University of Rochester, we have bike education that's now virtual, and people can go to our transportation website to hook up for a free class. Because I feel like it does start with a discussion and letting people just kind of air their questions. And definitely safety is a huge concern, but talking through not only the rights of a cyclist, but also how people can practically become safer just by that education alone. And then also keeping themselves safe by mechanically keeping up their bicycle and making sure that they know the basic things about how to, maintain their bike, and then they're already going to be about 50% safer. So that's what we try to focus on, those things that we can control, and then, you know, answering all of the questions that they have. I really feel if we can do that and then pair someone up with a buddy and who may already go the route that they are looking to ride and give them that initial opportunity to ride with someone on a route, and then they're going to instantly be feeling more comfortable, and then comfort equals safety.
All right, Gerald, what do you hear about the resistance?
I agree with what Tracy just said there about biking with somebody who's already done it, because we're creatures of habit, right? I mean, your morning commute is your morning commute. And when I started riding my bike to work, well, I can't drink my coffee while I ride to work, right? That just doesn't happen. So you have to change your habits. And it takes a little bit of work and effort, but then it becomes a habit. I mean, riding my bike to work during the summer is just what I do. So I think, you know, it's that initial push to do it. And I think the 20-minute maps are fantastic. So they say, okay, yeah, now I think I can do 20 minutes. Practice it the day before work. So on Sunday, go out and ride the route and see, make sure it's safe, make sure it feels good to you. Have everything ready so that you're not scrambling for it that morning. And so you're able to just get on the bike, hop, get to work.
And on the subject of do's and don'ts, you know, Gerald is bringing up an important point here. A lot of us do have a routine that we love in the morning or we stick to, and maybe you are drinking coffee on the way to work in a car, and maybe that would be an adjustment. And that just takes time for sure. Maybe you're listening to NPR. Maybe you're listening to music. Jesse Pierce, is it frowned upon to be listening to music, podcast, NPR, etc. when you're riding?
So cyclists have the same law as motorists, which you are allowed to have one headphone and one ear, preferably the right ear, so that your left ear open to traffic can hear everything going around you. But to be honest, I mean, it's not against the law to listen to music or podcasts. And that's how I catch up on podcasts as I ride around.
So you listen when you're riding, but in a way that isn't going to distract you from hearing and interacting with other things on the road.
Correct.
Okay. And then on the subject of just habit, if there's concern about theft, Don says bike theft still remains a key reason for not commuting by bike. Nobody wants to finish their workday to find their bike stolen. Does Rochester have a bike registry? Jesse?
There's a national registry that anybody across the country can participate in. It's called Bike Index, and if you just Google Bike Index, it's a wonderful free open source tool that everybody should register their bike with. So if it gets stolen and recovered, they know who it belongs to.
All right, Jesse Pierce, as we wrap this hour, tell people where to find your information online, and in the next 40 seconds, give them a little preview of what's coming.
All right, so just go to reconnectrochester.org, and of course, pay attention to our social media. But if you go on the main page and just scroll down a little bit underneath latest stories, you'll see that. And so in June, this month, we have Irondequoit. We'll have a blog examining Pittsford in June. I think July will be Jackie Marchand's month to examine bikeability in Irondequoit. And then we move on to RGH, Unity, and URMC Hospital in September.
I'm grateful for the time and very interesting efforts here. Jesse is a cycling coordinator for Reconnect Rochester and a project coordinator and blogger for Examining Bikeability in Downtown Rochester. Always good, Jesse. Thanks for being with us this hour.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Evan.
And our thanks previously, Pam Rogers, Jackie Marchand, and our thanks to Tracy Austin, Examining Bikeability to URMC and the River Campus. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Evan.
And Dr. Gerald Gaciaca, examining bikeability to RGH and Unity Hospitals. We'll see you on the roads, Dr. Gaciaca.
Thank you so much, Evan. Appreciate it.
Listeners, a lot of great feedback this hour. Our thanks to Rob Braden, engineer, Emma Ray Stein, doer of everything, and Megan Mack, doer of everything else, really. And I just host the show. Grateful to have you. I hope you're a member of member-supported public radio. This is our spring membership campaign, and we'd love to have you with us. 454-6300. Use your mobile app to make a contribution to public radio or WXXINews.org. This family needs to grow stronger. We'll talk to you tomorrow.